welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running for another wonderful week here in beautiful Brevard County. I would sing happy birthday to somebody, but they wouldn't hear me, so I'm not going to do that. But today's a day in my life that I always remember. So pray that you are having a great week. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we want to thank you for taking time out of your Monday morning to be with us as we study God's Word. We're going to launch into the book of Acts today, chapter 10. We're going to be going through, I think, about three different chapters, touching base on three different chapters in the book of Acts in this little mini-series we're doing here on Seeking Truth. Seeking spiritual truth. And so we're going to be in 10, 11, and 15. But first of all, I want to say thank you to the folks of JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. I don't know where I was driving a couple of weeks ago. I think I was in a part of town that I don't normally visit, and I saw a concrete crew, and I was pretty much by them before I saw them. But the first thing that I thought is, I wonder if that's Greg and his crew out there working on somebody's concrete project. And I can tell you that if the owner chose them, they chose well. They chose well. When you're choosing a contractor, first of all, you want to choose somebody who knows what they're doing. You want to choose somebody who is going to do it with experience, and they're going to do it with excellence. And so if expertise, if hard work ethic or excellence and experience is what you're looking for in a concrete contractor, then JITS Concrete is the folks you need to call, 321-536-5804, and they will bring everything that they've gained through decades of hard work here in Brevard County. They will bring that to your project, so you are going to get the very best treatment possible. Give them a call. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, 321-536-5804. So today we are going to be in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and we're going to be working our way up to a revelation from God of spiritual truth that takes place later on in this chapter. But I want to take you to verse number 1. We're going to start there and work our way up, because there's some interesting things here. A lot of people think that God just does everything, and I want you to understand that He is looking to bless us, but He is also looking to partner with us. And there is blessings in that. There is a human level of activity that is involved in this spiritual breakthrough on multiple fronts. And so I want you to have a good understanding of what God did in this situation. Verse number 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. So that's where we're going to end today's reading, unless we get through all of this, and then we will pick up with some more. In Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 10, verse number 1, we are exposed to God acknowledging who Cornelius was and what was going on in his life. Now, this is an interesting thing that happens in the scriptures, because up until now it was very rare for there to be an acknowledgement of divine communication with someone who wasn't of the Jewish culture. If you remember Elijah, after he confronted Ahab and the brook Cherith had dried up, God told Elijah to go to Zarephath, that there was a widow there, and God said, I have told her what she is supposed to do. And he was telling Elijah, and he told that woman. That's one of the things that I want you to see in this passage here, is that God has a way of confirming things. If you remember when Saul was converted, God communicated with Saul, even though he was hostile to Christianity. He communicated with Saul, and he said, I have told him that there's a guy by the name of Ananias that is going to come, and he is going to be healed. So that's what God communicated to Ananias. Ananias was presented with the mission of going to Paul or Saul at that point in time. And he said, God, I don't know if you have heard everything about this guy that I've heard about this guy, but he's not exactly on most favored status. And God said, look, I chose him. Go and pray for him and restore his sight. And so God was communicating with Saul. He was communicating with Ananias. And here in this case, he starts communicating with Cornelius. And so the first thing that you see is that he's a centurion. He's a Roman soldier. And he's got people that are under his charge. If you remember, when Jesus was ministering, there was a centurion servant that was sick. And the centurion sent servants to Jesus to ask him to heal his servant. And Jesus was on his way there. And the centurion said, no need for you to come. I am a man under authority. I say to this one, go and he goes, and to this one, come and he comes. All you've got to do is speak the word, and I know everything's going to be okay. And Jesus said, I have not found such great faith. No, not in all Israel. God knows what's going on in your life. I shared this truth here from Acts chapter 15. I shared this a few weeks ago in one of my messages at church, and that is that God is the heart knower. He knows and understands what is going on in your life. And if things are not functioning well, he knows that. You know, a lot of people go to the doctor, and when the doctor asks them if there are any issues going on in their life, then the people want to minimize that and want to try and hide it. And then all of a sudden you do tests on it and say, well, it looks to me like you may be having more problems than what you're letting on. A lot of people think that there's not much going on negative spiritually in their life. And the question I asked is, what does God really know about the situation? Now, what are you hiding, but what does he know? What does he understand? He's not wrong. And so with that being said, on the negative side, I want you to see here in Acts chapter 10 that Jesus knows what was going right in Cornelius' life. There may be a lot of people that don't see much merit in what you do. They might not really care too much about what you think because of your job or your socioeconomic status or the color of your skin. But I want you to know that God looks at you and he sees the heart. So let me just point out a few things about Cornelius that God said to him through the angel first. And then we're going to go back and look at Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, because that's what the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write about Cornelius as well. So the angel says to him in verse number 4, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God." So God had taken notice of Cornelius' prayer life, and he had taken notice of his giving. And so those are two greatly important things. The Bible talks about that underneath the altar in heaven, there are golden bowls that are filled with the prayers of the saints. I remember several years ago, like maybe 10, that I had found some gold bowls. It was probably during graduation season. Merritt Island, black and gold, black and gold, black and gold. I've been to a lot of football games and halftime shows with my kids in the band and stuff like that. And so we found some gold little disposable bowls, and I passed them out to my congregation, and I said this, "How full is your bowl?" And if you come up with any answer other than "not enough," then you've given the wrong answer. We need to fill it up. And so I pray that when your church calls a prayer meeting, that you join that prayer meeting. That if the church doesn't have a prayer time, that you will have a prayer time. I pray that you will be in constant communication before or with God. God pays attention to your prayers. And it also says, "And your alms have come up for a memorial before God." So not only does God pay attention to our prayer life, but he pays attention to our worship through the act of giving as well. Took note of it on a personal basis. So I testify to you here on the radio about the faithfulness of God in his provision for Merritt Assembly of God. We see his faithfulness on a corporate level. But that corporate giving is just a manifestation of what is really taking place in the hearts of God's people. So I don't want anybody to, you know, hear this wrong. I'm not putting emphasis someplace that God doesn't, but Jesus pays attention during offering time. And it is not about the amount, it is about the act of giving. And so for some people, they gave out of their abundance during Jesus' ministry. He commented on, acknowledged, and complimented the lady who gave 2 mites, which was an extremely small offering, but it was everything she had. Everything. And that's what got Jesus' attention. But he also knew what everybody else had put in. He's not saying that giving out of your abundance is a bad thing, but he says that when he asks you to give of your best, give of your all, he said that's even better. God pays attention to giving. Now, here's the statement that I will make. People who honor the Lord with their finances, historically, I'm not saying exclusively, but in my personal experience, they have had less challenges in their life once they started embracing obedience and giving. The number of problems and ups and downs and trials and tribulations, those numbers declined when they started honoring the Lord with their finances. I find that the people who honor God with tithe and offering, God's tithe, your offering, that they require less marital counseling, pastoral care, things like that than people who don't give. Now, I don't look at the giving records. I see the giving records once a year. I've got to put a signature on there verifying that it is an accurate reflection of the year's giving. And so when I do that, that's the only time all year, unless the office manager ends up being on vacation or sick and I have to do the bookkeeping. We're a very small office. So I'm the backup. I'm the backup Wednesday night teacher. I'm the backup youth leader on Wednesday, and I'm on my office manager. I'm her backup as well. And so those are the only two times that I see. And in fact, I'll sometimes ask, the office manager, how's our level of obedience as a church level? And many times there's surprising figures. It's like almost everybody nationwide, the percentage of people who honor the Lord with their finances is a very, very low figure. And when I say that, from some of the statistics that I've seen, it's in the single digits of people who claim to be Christians honor the Lord through any sort of financial sacrifice at all. So it's not only that God noticed his prayers, and not only that his giving, he not only knew his background, he also knew what his job was, what his responsibility was, and what his assignment was. All of that is in verse number one. But in verse number two, the Holy Spirit emphasizes that Cornelius was a devout man. He was devoted. He wasn't a fly-by-night. Once he had committed to something, he was devoted. So I was on the phone not too long ago with a friend of mine, and we were discussing a particular passage. I'm going to see. It's in 1 Corinthians 16:15, and this is what my friend commented. He said, "I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us." This is what he said about that household. He said that word actually means that they were addicted. They were addicted to the ministry of the saints. That's a whole different level. You see, when it is a devotion, I do a message that there's a difference between devotions, having devotion, and devotion, which is being devoted to God. And I would say we want to cause our devotion to rise to the level of the Stephanas household and say, you know what? I am addicted to Jesus. And I pray that you are addicted to spending time with God. You are addicted to the fellowship of the saints. You're addicted to living out the gospel. You're addicted to ministry. He says in verse number 2 of Acts chapter 10, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household. One who feared God with all his household. Could I dare say that God knows the inclination of our heart in regards to himself. He knows where we are. Now, that reverence of God, I don't think that that means that there's any flippancy there. I believe that what he's saying is, Cornelius, I know that you treat me with the utmost of respect. As a centurion, a person who was over 100 men in the Italian regiment, when he was called to present himself to his superiors, he would have approached that with a great deal of seriousness. He would have prepared himself. He would have been wearing the right outfit at the time. He would understand why he was there. And he brought that same mindset into his relationship with God. So I'm not trying to create a phobia of God. That's not the type of fear that we want in the kingdom of God. You know, fear of God that's a phobia is something that manifests whenever we do the wrong thing the way that Adam did in the Garden of Eden. You hear God's voice and say, I'd better hide myself, lest he see that I did something wrong. Okay? As a Christian, we say, you know what? God already knows what I've done right. He knows what I've done wrong. I need to respond to his invitation through God the Holy Spirit to repent of my sins and have him forgive me of my sins and empower me to do what is right the next time. So I pray that not only would we be addicted to God, but we would also have a proper understanding of who he is. He's your creator. He's the one who formed you. He intentionally formed you before he had a purpose for you before the foundation of the world. And when he created you, he said not just that it was good, but that it was very good. He redeemed you. And I pray that we would treasure that relationship with God. That, because of the fact he was a devout man, one who feared God, it worked its way through his entire household. Now, I tell people this. I cannot guarantee you that if you live your life for God and you do the right things, I can't guarantee you that your household will not experience some spiritual hiccups along the way. There are growing lessons to be learned by all. But what I can tell you is this, is if you do not lead your house in obedience, if you do not lead your house in being devoted to God and to the house of God and to the people of God, if you do not walk in reverence to God, your household is very unlikely to walk in reverence to God and have any sort of devotion to God, the house of God, or to the people of God. Guys, lead the way. Lead even if nobody else follows. Women of God, lead the way, even if nobody else follows. I mean, how many kids, how many people in Christianity testify, the reason I'm here today is because I had a praying mother or a praying grandmother, a praying sister, a praying daughter. And so there's a couple of other comments here about Cornelius, and they have to do with things that we've already talked about. One is that when Cornelius gave alms, he gave generously. He gave generously. So I remember reading a book by Darlene Check out of Hillsong in Australia back when in the 90s. She and her husband pastor a different church in Australia now, but she talked about extravagant worship. I've heard people talk about extravagant giving or lavishly giving. I can tell you this. God wants you controlling your finances. He doesn't want your finances controlling you. Everything that I have belongs to God. And so my wife and I, we constantly listen and say, God, you know, what do you want us to give? So I can tell you this. I not only am thankful for the opportunity to give, because there was a time when I didn't have much to give. Generous to me at one point in time was giving, you know, $10 or $20 to the church. You know, when you are a college graduate and you're bringing home $84.62 or something like that a week, as an adult in your 20s, you're not going to have a whole lot that you're going to be able to give at that. Generous looks entirely different when you're making $85 a week than it does if you're making $8,500 a week. So make sure that when you give, you give generously. And the other thing, the last thing we're going to talk about here today, is that when God perceived Cornelius as he was preparing for a spiritual revelation that he was going to bring about, he noticed that Cornelius prayed always. Not just when there was a problem, he was constantly praying. In fact, it was during a time of prayer that Cornelius' prayers got interrupted by an angel and said, God's been listening. God's been listening. Some of you are out there and you may have been wondering, has God been listening? You may have the same testimony, that you're devout, you fear God, you give alms generously, you pray to God always, and you're wondering how long. I tell you what, when you are devoted to God, when you're addicted to God, it doesn't matter how long it's going to take. You're going to have God's attention. God's going to be noticing things. He's going to be perceiving things about you that are not false perceptions, they're genuine perceptions. And I pray that all of us would be exhibiting those same types of characteristics, that we'd get God's attention today, not for the wrong reason, but for the right one. God bless you. You have a great Monday. We'll see you next time right here on.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Let's just lift up our voices right now and just thank the Lord. Let's just thank him.